And I can feel in the spirit, First Lady got something going on. You got an announcement, Prince? You wanted me to say it, or are you going to say it? Yeah, you can say it. I'm already locked in.
Hey, guys, I just want to let you guys know that PCA, we're doing a po' boy sale this upcoming Friday. We have tickets out in the foyer. It helps support our basketball team and other things that we need at PCA. The tickets are $8. You can purchase them in the foyer, or if you forgot your cash, no worries, you can come on Friday as well. It's a sandwich, chip, and drink. So we love for all of you to support. Even if you say, you know what, I'm on a fast, I'm vegan, just buy it for somebody else who's not vegan. Amen?
Come on.
All right.
And the football, big football, HFL Friday.
Okay, and HFL is also Friday. The games start at 6:30 p.m., 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30.
Yes.
And the women and the kids play on Sunday starting at 4 p.m.
I think that's right.
All righty.
All right. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Leah, that's about right. Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. Well, look, let's look at Hebrews, amen, 11:7. And let me see. Let's go ahead. I'm going to start reading at verse 1 just to kind of get us a little bit acclimated. Amen. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here's where we're going to be in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Bless it now. I pray I decrease and you increase, that you'd fill me up, God, that you'd have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints of God, we in the book of Hebrews tonight, and we're just going line by line, precept upon precept. This book is specifically written to us as the Hebrews, amen, to remain within the new covenant, to remain within the faith, and not let go of Yahshua Jesus. In chapter 10, it was all about apostasy and the falling away that can happen, amen. And at the end of chapter 10, he gives us, amen, the remedy, the prescription, amen, to keep us from falling away, and that's faith. By the time we get to chapter 11, he goes into this dissertation about faith, probably one of the greatest in all the Bible, amen. If the greatest chapter on love is in the Pauline epistle, 1 Corinthians, and this, amen, right here in Hebrews 11 is probably one of the greatest chapters on faith. And that chapter could be broken down into two. We see a definition of faith and then a history of faith. And we've been talking about the history of faith. We went through the antediluvian patriarchs, looking at Abel and Enoch. And tonight we begin with a new Old Testament patriarch by the name of Noah. Somebody say Noah. All right. As we look at verse 7, is the only verse that is talking about Noah right here. And in that verse, amen, it summarizes chapter 6, 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9 in Genesis. Right there in that small little verse, amen. And the writer of Hebrews kind of writes like that because he's assuming that his audience already knows who he's talking about. The Hebrews were committed, what? The oracles of God. So he didn't have to go into big, long explanations about things. Amen. So he knew that we would already know the people that he was talking about. But for tonight, amen, we're going to unpack it. Amen. We're going to unpack it, amen, and just go through it. Amen. I'm thinking it's going to take me a few Tuesdays. At least I'm hoping it will, because there's so much in this text. There's 6 points coming out of verse 7. Could have been 7 points, and as we go, it might get to be more. But we'll look at number one, Noah. Number two, things not seen yet. Amen. Number three, move with fear. God bless you. Number three, number four, saving his house. Number five, condemn the world. And number six, righteousness by faith. Amen. We're going to cover point number one tonight. Noah. Amen. Noah. So let's talk about Noah a little bit. Look at verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right. Commentators tell us that Noah belongs in this chapter of faith. Amen. He belongs there because Noah is an extreme example of faith in action. Faith in action. Noah's life was not just about believing God from a mental standpoint. His life was about believing God so much, he gonna do what God told him to do. Somebody say faith in action. Noah's mantra was, I'm not going to just say I believe. No, I'm going to act like I believe. I'm going to show you I believe. And it's important. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what real faith is all about. The Bible says in James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Is dead. All right? If you don't act like you believe, then you really don't believe. If you don't act like you believe, then you really don't believe. It's not real faith. And Noah was an extreme circumstance of believing God so much that he acted. That he acted. You see? And I want to tell you that Noah is such a pillar of faith in our Bible because he operates in this faith in some pretty dark days, y'all. In some pretty dark days. See, living in America and the world we live in, we say, Lord, how can we walk this faith walk? How can we please you and obey you and believe you, Lord? When things so dark, when things so wicked, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord. And some even give up. Well, I just can't do it, Lord. I just can't do it. It's too much TV. It's too much internet. It's too much handheld devices. It's too much all these inventions. It's evil at every turn. Lord, I just can't do it. You see? But there was somebody that we could look to in our Bible who was going through similar dark days. Anybody hearing me up in here? All right? And he kept the faith. And I'm hoping that we can look at Noah as an example, y'all. That just because we living in pretty much the last days, somebody say last days. Just because we living in these last days, amen, we got to hold the line, baby. We got to hold the line, man. We got to keep believing. If the issue going to be in the end of times, amen, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith in the earth from this church and from every satellite, every home, amen, that's following, that's walking with this church, we're going to say, yeah, Lord, you're going to find faith in Philadelphia. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because Noah was faithful. And I want to tell you, when they describe the days that we're living in, John, when they describe our days, amen, you know what they describe our days as? These last days? They say, in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah. It's the only days that can compare to Noah days. Our days. Our days. And Noah kept the faith, man. He held the line, man. You see? You say, Pastor, we got a lot going on in our day. What was going on in Noah's day like that? I'm glad you asked. We're going to look at it. And we're going to go deep into it. Amen. To do that, we got to turn back to Genesis 6. Go back with me in Genesis 6. Amen. In Genesis 6. If you have your Bible, if not, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. All right? Hallelujah. And pray for me, because the devil don't want you to hear this message. If God's going to be using a similitude, an analysis, that this is going to be like that, amen, we need to pay attention. Because in that similitude, in that analogy, will be our answer on how to survive in these dark days. Because Noah got through. Oh, God, have mercy. Noah got through. And we can get through, too, if we learn from Noah. These things were written beforehand for our admonition. You see? Let's look at Genesis 6:1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Let's just stop right there. I can't keep reading. All right? I'm going to break it down as I go a little bit. Is that all right, First Lady? All right, when the Bible says men, that's the Hebrew word, Adam. So he's talking about mankind. He's not talking about a particular segment of men. He's talking about all mankind. Amen? The sons of Adam. He said, when men began to multiply on the face of earth, they had daughters. Huh? And the brown-skinned daughters was fine. Anybody hear me up in here? They look so good, amen. Y'all know it, them Hebrew women. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair. Now the sons of God, amen, that's the angels, and I'm going to show you that in a second. Particularly in the Old Testament, amen, angels were called the sons of God. So what we have here is mankind is multiplying. They began not only having sons, but they began to have daughters. And the angels looked at them women, amen, and said, who that is? All right, they saw that they were fair, amen. And look how it says, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Are y'all still with me here? All right, this is in our Bible. This is Genesis 6, that the angels looked down upon the women, and they began to say, I want a wife too. All right? Look at verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. All right? This could be talking about God is upset with this commingling. We're going to get with that in a second. And he could be talking about, number one, he's going to begin to govern, to limit the lifespan of mankind to 120 years. Because you know, up until this point, these boys living 500, 600, 700 years, amen. But because of their immorality and their disobedience, God said they can't live that long. They cutting all kind of trouble at 60. So I'm going to have to govern that. I'm going to have to curtail that. And make sure that, hallelujah, in the years to come, they're only going to be living to 120. And that could be one of the translations of this. Another translation that commentators say is that God put a clock. He put a clock on creation. And he said, I'm not going to be playing with man too long. That's how God said, I'm not going to strive with man too long. Uh-uh. You know in your house when you got enough with them children? And you put a time limit? And you'd be like, by 8:30, that room better be clean. You better have taken a bath. And you better be tucked in. But mom, it's 8:25. I don't care. Another translation of this, God said, I'm not going to play with man for long. But after 120 years, I'm going to deal with man. Put a clock on that thing. I'm coming in 120. You see? Let's keep on going. Verse 4, there were giants. Somebody say giants. This is our Bible I'm reading now. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God made wives, laid with the daughters of men, and they bear children. So they not only had wives, but they made children. The same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. All right? That word in verse 4, giant, is the Hebrew word nephil. Nephil, somebody say nephil. Nephil. Not phil, nephil. All right? It's where we get the English word where we say Nephilim. Somebody say Nephilim. Nephilim. Pastor, what's a Nephilim? A Nephilim is a hybrid. A Nephilim is a half man and a half angel. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't came here to talk about Noah tonight. Somebody say Nephilim. They were giants, Nephil. They were giants in the land in those days. How did the giants come about? Well, the sons of God, amen, lay with the daughters of men and bare children. They became mighty men of old, men of renown. This is Noah's day. This is the day that he stuck, hallelujah, he stuck with God where he had faith and wouldn't let go. Verse 6, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And we'll talk about it. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. And God said, I'm about to do something about this. So in this verse, as we talk about Noah, in this section of Genesis, it was two things that Noah had to deal with coming out this section of scripture. Two things he had to keep the faith, amen, in God while he had, amen, obstacles and things coming against his faith. Two things he had fighting against him. He had A, the Nephilim, and he had B, great wickedness going on all around him. Let's go deeper into the Nephilim. Y'all ready to go deeper into that? All right. Click it or take it now. Click it or take it. All right. So one of the major issues in Noah's day was the Nephilim. I told you already the Nephilim comes from the Hebrew word nephil, which means a bully, a tyrant, and more literally, more importantly, a giant. The mixture of angels and men produce giants. Amen. It produced men, amen, who were larger than regular men, stronger than regular men. It produced men, amen, who had birth defects, as it were. Oh, God, have mercy. In verse 4, it says there were giants in the earth in those days. You see? When the sons of God lay with the daughters of men and bare them children. Now, some people want to explain away the sons of God to say that this was the sons of Seth. And I showed you already that the Adam is talking about all mankind. If Genesis wanted to say in the sons of Seth, God with the daughters of Cain, amen, the Bible would have said that. But it didn't say that. The Bible said that the sons of God, God with, amen, the daughters of men, Adam, the daughters of mankind. Now, sons of God is used in our Bible, and if you use the method of sola scriptura, which if you're confused about a phrase, you find where that phrase is used in another place, amen, and it's going to clear up your mindset on how God uses this phrase. So we're in the Old Testament, so we want to see, amen, what the Old Testament uses as the sons of God. Look at Job 1 and 6. The Bible said in Job, it says, now there was a day when the what? Sons of God came to present themselves before who? The Lord. And who came? And Satan came also among them. Now you think that the sons of God mean men right here? Going to present themselves to the throne of very God? Men wouldn't be able to stand the heat. No flesh shall enter in his presence. Hallelujah. No, they can't even see God. So that wasn't men. That was angels. The sons of God. They can't present themselves before the Lord. Jesus said, amen. The angels, these little ones, they see the face of the Father every day. You see? And Satan come up there. Look at Job 38:7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of who? Sons of God. What did they do? They shouted for joy. Now listen to me good. This scripture right here is about creation in 38:7. When God was laying the foundation of the earth, when God was putting things together, remember, he's fronting on Job. Where were you, Job? You understand what I'm saying? And he's describing what was happening when he was creating. And he's telling Job, Job, when I was laying the foundation, when I was putting it all together, guess what? The morning stars were singing. The stars were singing. And guess who else was there? And all the sons of God. What were they doing? Shouting for joy. Let me tell you, it wasn't no men when he was laying the foundation. Man wasn't even created till he was finished, the heavens and the earth. Anybody hear me up in here? He wasn't even there. He wasn't there. This is angels he's talking about. Who was beholding God just pull mountains and cut valleys and speaking things in existence. So when the Bible say that the sons of God, hallelujah, saw that the daughters of men were fair, he's saying that the angels looked upon, amen, the original inhabitants of earth. Amen. And say, them God look good. All right. Y'all with me so far? All right. Now, some people would say, well, pastor, what's wrong with that? If man is not good for man to be alone, an angel should have a little company too. Huh? Well, not if God don't say so. Anybody hear me up in here? What you mean by that? Angels not supposed to have wives. They're not supposed to have wives, and they're not supposed to have children. Well, who said that? God said that. It was his decree. All right? And in Matthew 22:30, Jesus is describing how we're going to be in the resurrection. See, marriage is an earth thing. Amen. Marriage is a humanity thing in our fallen state. Amen. Marriage is an earth thing. But when we're in our resurrected bodies, amen, it won't be no more marriage. Anybody hear me up in here? All right, some people saying praise the Lord. Some people saying, oh, man. It just depends what side of the fence you're on. It just depends what day it is. Some days you say, Lord, I can't wait for heaven. Other days you're like, Lord, let the earth go on. It just depends how y'all getting along. All right, I should do an exercise right quick. All right, no. All right. But Jesus in Matthew 22:30, look what he's talking about. Talking about us. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. But what? But are as the angels of God in heaven. They don't marry, man. They don't marry. And they're not given into marriage. They don't marry, man. That's what the angels do. The angels spend their life serving God and serving the heirs of salvation. That's what they do, man. You know, that's what they do. When you start looking at other people and what they do, that's when you get yourself in trouble. That's why the Bible say, run your race. Why the Bible say, don't look to the left or look to the right. The Bible say, run your race. You see? Pastor, what's wrong with the angels getting wives? You see, they weren't supposed to. They weren't created for that. Secondly, it is a mixing of two different kinds. You see, the angel is one kind, and man is another kind. When I use the word kind, I'm talking about species. Two different created beings. And God put a creation order in Genesis. In the garden. Look what he says in Genesis 1:24. Y'all still up? And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. Watch this. After his kind. And so what God is saying is, yeah, I want y'all to be fruitful and multiply. I want y'all to replenish the earth. I want y'all to fill the earth. But there's one little stipulation. You can only bring forth after your kind. Don't be mixing species. Don't be mixing species. Don't be mixing species. All right? All right? Look what he says. Cattle, creeping thing, beasts of the earth. What? After his kind. All right? All right? That's why, you know, all the stuff that you see that's happening in our world today, the bestiality and all kind of manner of wickedness, men don't know what they how they playing with God right now. It's not a game to God, no, man. God put a natural order of things, man. You see? And I'm going to show you here, at some point, amen, hallelujah, God don't like the kinds corrupted. Ooh, are y'all hearing me up in here? You see? There was a creation order that God set in motion, that reproduction should only happen between two of the same kind, two of the same species. Leviticus 19:19. You shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Oh, no, man. Keep the cows and the bulls together. You see? Thou shalt not even sow thy field with mingled seed. Don't even put apples next to the oranges. Don't be putting that. Don't mix seed, he said. God was so, amen, oh God, he was so precise about it. He said, neither shall your garment be mingled with linen and woolen come upon thee. See, linen come from plant-based. Woolen come from animal-based. You're taking two kinds and putting it on you. God said, don't take plant and animal and put it in the same garment. He said, you're mixing some things that's not supposed to be mixed. Now, thank God our clothes today, amen, is mixed. But it's mixed usually plant and synthetic, or animal and synthetic. Usually it's not mixed plant, animal. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right? All right? In Noah's day, they had the Nephilim. Hybrid men and angels, you see? Some people say, well, Pastor, aren't angels spirits? How can a spirit mix with a woman? Good question. But when you turn to your Bible, you got to understand that angels have the capability of manipulating the material world. They have the capability of becoming what we would call corporeal. Amen. They have the capability of grabbing things, of moving things, of, and you could be so close to them, amen, and they could be in another form where you think it's a human being. I'm going to show you in a second right here. Are you hearing me so far? I'm just talking about our Bible and the angels. All right? As we look at, amen, Hebrews 13:1, look what he say. He said, I'm mixing up my nose, but let's just flow with the Spirit. He said, hallelujah, let brotherly love continue. Verse 2 is where I need to be. You might have to work a little bit, but I'm going to read it. He say, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Meaning you could be somewhere, and you think it's a person for all practical purposes. They out there eating with you, amen. They out there doing something, amen. They holding things. They got clothes on. It's everything. And the Bible is saying somebody needs some help, amen. And you hand them a dollar or a five or something. Bible says be careful entertaining strangers. Because it might very well be an angel unaware. You understand what I'm saying? So if a spirit couldn't become corporeal, couldn't manipulate our physical environment, we would never be talking like this in the Bible. But I'm going to go deeper, all right? I'm going to go deeper. Because you got some people that think they're theologians and don't believe they own Bible. When the Bible says giants and Nephilim, that's what the Bible means. But I'm going to tell you, the enemy don't want you to see this. You see, because if you learn this, and I'm going to show you, if you learn this and understand this and get this, you're going to understand how he's working in our present day. You're going to understand what he's doing in our present time. He don't want me to turn the light on him tonight, but I will. But I will. So help me, God. I will. I'm going back. I'm going back. The enemy done took over our seminaries. You go to seminary and they interpret this all kind of ways, but the right way, but the literal way, but the way that is written. They won't make all kind of excuses about why this can't be a giant. This is just faithless men who can't believe a Bible that say things that our imagination can't put in reality. You see, but my Bible tells me that my God is able to do all things exceedingly abundantly above I can ever hope, ask, or imagine. Are you hearing me up in here? They unbelieving believers is what I'm talking about. So they make up excuses, and I'm just kind of going through showing you in our Bible the sons of God were always angels. Until the New Testament came, we wasn't there back then, though. You know? They talking about angels, a spirit. No. He wasn't a spirit in Daniel 6. When they threw Daniel in the lion's den, Shirley. What Casper going to do to a lion? But an angel that can manifest himself, can show up looking like John Mark up in that lion's den. You understand what I'm saying? Daniel, just move out the way, Daniel. So when they asked Daniel what happened, you know what I'm saying? Daniel said, my God had sent his angel in verse 22. He sent who? His angel. And what did the angel do? He had shut the lion's mouth. And not just one mouth, mouths. See, a ghost can't do that. How angels gonna get with women? They got the ability to manifest. You see? How God gonna tell him in Psalm 91:11? He tell us in 91:11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. What they gonna do? To keep thee. And where? All thy ways. Verse 12, watch this. They shall bear thee up, pick you up. The angels. How a ghost gonna pick you up? They shall bear thee up. In what? In their hand. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on. How angel gonna get with a woman? With his hands. He shall bear thee up what? In their hands. Lest what? Lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You in danger, that angel just gonna snatch you up and grab you. How's they gonna visit Abraham? How's they gonna visit Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot? How's they gonna walk up in the house? How else the people gonna see them and say, the men that came to you, aren't you sent on my side? How else? Huh? How else they gonna pull Lot in, shut the door behind them, and then blind them? How else if they can't get in the physical and be corporeal? Let me tell you, man, they don't want you to believe your book, man. They don't want you to believe your book, man. They get so smart. You know the rest of it. How else in 2 Kings 19:35? One angel. Huh? And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote and attacked and killed in the camp of the Assyrians. How many? 185,000. He went in the camp of the Assyrians and he killed 185,000 soldiers. When they rose up the next morning, it was nothing but corpses. How a ghost gonna do that? But the greatest one, the greatest example I have of an angel not just being a ghost, but being corporeal, is found in Matthew 28, verse 2. For after my Lord died, he was buried in that grave. And on the third day he rose. And the Bible says, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and look what the angel did. The angel put his hands on that stone and he rolled back the stone from the door and then sat upon it and like to say, how you like me now? How a spirit gonna get with a woman? Read your Bible. You see? Well, okay, Pastor, I get it. The angels can materialize. They can be with women. But giants, Pastor? They had giants? Yes. They had giants. Pastor, I don't believe in giants. Well, you don't believe your Bible. Because my Bible talk about giants all the time. That's why we get excited when we worship and talking about giants fall. Anybody hear me up here? As we look at our Bibles, amen, Numbers 13:33, talk about giants. You know? Oh, thank you, Brent. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to go to this side. It's a little blurry, but I'm going to put my good eyes on it. Pastor, they ain't got no such thing as giants. Well, why the Bible talk about them? When they was going in the promised land, and there we saw the what? The sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what? As grasshoppers. This bothers me. Because we're going to get to a place, y'all, where God going to flood the earth. Because he's going to want to kill all the giants. And he's going to flood the earth and he's going to kill everybody, bro. But then we see the giants back. What that mean? What that mean? I know he killed all of them. What that mean? It can only mean two things. Either the mingling still happening, or y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that. Either the mingling still happening, or they had a stowaway on Noah's boat. Somebody was on the boat, wasn't fully Adam. Am I making y'all think too hard up in here? He said the last day is going to be like the days of what? How much like the days of Noah? Oh, I done messed your head up. Heavy, I done got him, Heavy. Oh, Lord, I done got him. I'm like the Cowboys in the fourth quarter on Sunday night. I done got him. John, you know I had to. John, you know I had to, John. All right, let's get back to the word now. Let's get back to the word. Okay, listen. Heaven sent me a good text too, man. It was so funny. The giants. What did we look? Deuteronomy 2:10. Because they were known as Anaks, but also Emims. They dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many. And what? And tall. Tall as what? The Anakims. Deuteronomy 3:11. Look at this. For only I, king of Bashan, remain of the remnant of who? Of the giants. They didn't know it. Y'all knew Joshua beat Og, but y'all didn't know that Og was a giant. 9:2. Look at 9:2. A people great and tall, children of Anakims. They were still present. Who can stand before the children of Anak? Look at Joshua 15:14. Them people that Caleb went fight. When Caleb was old, he said, no, I can go get them. Yeah, Caleb, you older, and you go fight some regular men. No, Caleb wasn't going to fight no regular men. Caleb was old, and he was going to fight who? The giants. That's who Caleb was going to fight. And Caleb drove them, the three sons of Anak. We even got their names, Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. The children of Anak. Somebody say giants. And we come to 1 Samuel 17:4, and the giant's still there. Y'all know his name? Anybody know his name? Probably one of the famous giants, Goliath. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. The boy was over 9 foot tall, man. The boy was over nine. Somebody say Yao Ming. Taller than Yao Ming. And when he slew Goliath, you think it's over. But in 2 Samuel 21:22, when David is older, guess what? Still giants. These four giants was born to the giant in Gath. And they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of David's servants. Come on, give God some glory for that. Amen. They say, Pastor, giants don't exist. Oh, no, you better check your Bible. In fact, you better check your history, and you better check your archaeology, because they're still coming up with fossils and skeletons or things that they can't quite explain. They done found something in New York. I wonder why they call themselves the Giants. They done found something in Wisconsin. Y'all go check it out. It's not for me to talk about it right here. Found something in Wisconsin. They found something in New Mexico. But it would seem like you find something like that, it should be all over the news. Unless you're hiding something. Unless you don't want to know us to know something. Unless you don't want us to believe our Bibles. You know what I'm saying? Somebody say Giants. Now listen, I got to keep moving. But some of the best information about what happened with the angels, amen, is found in our extra-biblical sources. You know, we love our scriptures, and I believe that I've proved to you through the Bible, whether it's, amen, going back to the Hebrew, amen, I've shown you, amen, that the angels could, that they did, that giants continue to exist. You see? But when you go to the extra-biblical books, who some of you might not want to use, but you can at least use it for commentary, especially when it don't contradict our Bible, but complement our Bible, add commentary to our Bible. Let me show you something in the book of Enoch. Enoch 6:1 say this, and it came to pass when the sons of men had increased, that in those days there were born to them fair and beautiful daughters. Verse 2. And the angels, watch what they call them, the sons of heaven, saw them and desired them. And they said to one another, come, let us choose for ourselves wives from the children of men, and let us beget for ourselves children. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Book of Jubilees, 421, 422. And these are books, amen, that our Bible quote. Jubilees is a wonderful book because it just chronicles our history every Jubilee. The book of Jubilee says, amen, about Enoch, and he testified to the watchers who had sinned with the daughters of men. For these had begun to unite themselves so as to be defiled with the daughters of men. And Enoch testified against them all. Enoch went in there and told them boys off. You see? But it's not just the Bible, the book of Enoch, the book of Jubilee, but we have the early church fathers, believers who was right after the apostles. And it's a good indication to see what the apostles believe when you get the men who was right after the apostles. Same way is a good way if somebody never knew me, amen, they could kind of figure what I believe if they met some of y'all. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So let's look at the early church fathers. All right? Let me give you a list of them. Let's just put the list up first of those who believe, amen, that the angels got with the women, the daughters of Adam. That's them right there. I don't do the saints, so I'm just going to call them Jerome, Ambrose, Eusebius, Tertullian, Hilary, Clement of Alexandria. This other one with the O, Origen, he's a boss, man. He's a boss in the church. Josephus, I'm going to read you something from him. Justin, you know. Look what one of them say. Watch this. Look at Josephus. Let's do Josephus first. Please, y'all don't go to sleep, no. This is where it's at, right here. Josephus say this. Now, he's not one of the early church fathers, but he is a historian. He says this. For many angels of God accompanied with women and begat what? Sons. That proved to be what? Unjust. Despisers of all that was good on account of the confidence they had in their own strength. For that tradition is that these men did what resembled the acts of those who the Grecians call giants. Now wait right here, Josephus. When the angels had children, they didn't turn out to be good people. Because you're going to only resemble your father. That's not something else. You're going to only resemble your father. And there shall be enmity against her seed and your seed, devil. Now, when you're a child of God, you act like God. But when you're a child of the fallen ones, you act like the fallen ones. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. He said it was unjust. He said they despised those that was good. Back it up, Pastor. Back it up. Look, back it up. Let's go to Irenaeus. Watch this. Irenaeus, the early church father. He's the early church father. He says, for the unlawful unions, unlawful because of the creation order, the unlawful unions occurred on earth as angels united themselves with daughters of men, who bore them sons, who because of their exaggerated height were called giants. They believed it. So Noah, y'all, lived in a wicked day. He lived in a wicked day because of the giants. The giants were human and angel hybrids. You see? Now I want to show you something else. Sound booth, we're going to point B. Come on, just give me 10, 15 more minutes, then we're going to get out of here. All right? Somebody say, great wickedness. So Noah had one hurdle, the Nephilim. All right? How many people was your first time hearing about the Nephilim? All right? Angels and human mix. Let's look at Noah's second hurdle, great wickedness. If you look at Genesis 6 and 5, watch this. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thought of his heart was evil continually. You see? Just stop right there. You see? Not only were the angels wicked, and the children of the angels were wicked, but mankind became wicked. And mankind became exponentially wicked. It was like we was just with Cain and Abel. We just left the garden and y'all gonna get that evil? What happened? I'm gonna tell you what happened. The watchers happened. The angels happened. All right? When you look at what Irenaeus continues to say after he talk about the giants, he says the angels gave their wives gifts. What kind of gifts? Wicked teachings. For they taught them the powers of roots, herbs, dyeing, cosmetics, precious material, love potions, Sister Diane, Sister White, hatreds, love, potions for hatred, potions for love, potions for infatuation, seductions. He taught them the bonds of witchcraft. And all kinds of divination and idolatry, the angels taught their wives these things which was hateful to God. When these things entered the world, the things of wickedness, look what the Bible says, Irenaeus says the things of wickedness overabounded, while those of righteousness decreased until judgment came upon the world from God. Come on, give God some glory for some understanding. How did it get so wicked so fast? The fallen ones. The watchers. They upset with me revealing to you their game right now, tonight. You see? You see? Clement of Alexandria, early church father, look what he says. He says, the angels, these watchers, Brother Harvey, he said they obtained superior rank. What does that mean? Man was made a little lower than the angels. In intelligence and in strength, technology, everything, man. They knew things we didn't know, Tyrone. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like you and a dog. You know some things the dog don't know. You know how to drive. Dog can't drive. You understand what I'm saying? One higher species to a lower species. We were made a little lower than the angels. Are you getting this right here? They had superior rank. Watch this. But after sinking into pleasures, this is what they did. They told the women the secrets. They told them the secrets. What secrets? Secrets that only belong to heaven. Secrets that mankind shouldn't know. Secrets that mankind should still not be operating, but because of those secrets, amen, mankind was thrust forward. Oh, God, have mercy. Knowledge done increase. Invention done increase. Everything done increase. And you sitting here looking, and you saying, 50 years ago, 60 years, we ain't had none of this. Unless somebody helping somebody. Oh, y'all ain't ready for this. Unless somebody helping somebody. Heavy. How they get this heavy? How they get this? How they get this, man? I flipped that. How they get this? I can be anywhere in the world right now. How they get this, man? How they get this? The thing listening to me. Hey, Siri. Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing, Omar? Clement said, Irenaeus said, they began to show mankind some things. You see? Oh, Pastor, take your time. Take your time, Pastor. Take your time. I gotta change some things up. Go to the book of Enoch 8. Y'all stay up, please. Brother Frank, please, Brother Frank. Come on, Brother Frank. Y'all stick with me. Stick with me. I'm telling you. Hey, keep. Oh, God. Enoch 8. Watch this. I'm going to show you what they taught them. They even got the names of the angels who taught them. I'm talking about the days of Noah and the things that Noah had to deal with. He had to deal with them Nephilim, amen, and they was wicked, but they was also polluting all mankind. That's why by the time we get to Noah, God said the whole earth. In Enoch 8, and Azazel taught men to make swords. Had no swords before then. Daggers, which are hidden swords, concealed. Shields, breastplates. What's that for? War. Taught them war. See, I showed you another quote that said that these Nephilim and stuff like that, that the Grecians could have been making up myths about them. For those who are learned, hear what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, they start calling men Mars, the god of war, and this one that, and this one that. God have mercy. So he taught them, he gave them the things to make war, but watch this. He showed them the things after these, the art of making them. But he also gave them bracelets, ornaments, the art of making up the eyes. And beautifying the eyelids. Ladies, let me see your eyelids tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. But look, y'all stay with me because I ain't going to tell you that and you're going to take off your makeup in church. Just stay with me. Stay with me because I'm going to show you. None of these things are wrong. See, something is only wrong unless God say you can't do that. All these things, there's nothing in the scripture saying you can't do that. Nothing in the scripture saying you can't make your sword a shield. It's not that, all right? And the trap that the devil going to use is he going to get preachers that see that and come and preach, y'all don't wear makeup, y'all wear long sleeves. But God ain't never said that. The issue is not the things that the devil made. The issue is, hallelujah, your heart after those things. Oh, God have mercy. That's the issue. God not worried about what you got on your eye. He worried about what's in your heart. So I ain't leading you to no religion, man-made rules and traditions. Then we would be as though it were. And oh, God, what's the word, babe? What's the word, babe? Huh? False religion. It would be false religion. But they got something. It's a works-based theology. That's right. That's right. That's right. But there's a word, Lord. Huh? That's another one. Good word, too. You see? But I don't want to ever be a person, amen, that come and tell you not to do things. You see? You see? Because that's putting a law on you. See, these things, God never forbade them, no. But it's your heart about them. You see, the devil, what the devil did, and I'm going to show you with these angels, they created things out of the materials that was already here and showed us things. It's already here. But they showed us the jewels and the ornaments and made the women pretty, amen. And what happened was, then he gave us the swords and the daggers and the shields. He gave us the things to lust after. Then he gave us the tools to fight one another. James say, whence come these wars and fightings? Come they not from your lust? If you would just realize you have not because you ask not, oh God, that's what it's all about. So without a relationship with God, these little trinkets that the enemy showed us begin to cause problems amongst us. The jewelry is nothing wrong with jewelry. Nothing wrong with swords and shields. In fact, God used swords and shields to get Joshua to inherit the promised land. It's nothing wrong with these inventions and these things, but it's the heart that you have while you use these things. Because these very things could be used for the glory of God. Oh, God. Are y'all with me here so far? I got to keep going. We got to get out of here. You see? Look with me now. So the devils, the angels, look what they did. Oh, yeah, precious stones, all kind of colored dyes. And I love my African cut jabos I used to have. I had them green pair, black pair, white pair. But watch this in Enoch at the end. It says, and the world was... when they began to show mankind the things, the secrets, the world was changed. We went from a simple system to a demonic world system where it was governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The world system was implemented by the watchers. And this implementation of the world system is still continuing to this day, and the watchers are still ahead of it. They're still running it. They're still making sure everything run as it ran, even in the days of Eden. Y'all ain't ready for this. Y'all ain't ready for this. Let me go out and split the veil. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Look. 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 Enoch 9 and 6. We almost done. The angels praying to God. Look what they say. They say, Lord, see what Azazel had done. How he has taught all iniquity on the earth and revealed the eternal secrets that are made in heaven. And some things say Simjaza, but Simyaza has made known spells. He to whom you gave authority to rule over those who are with him. The angels was cutting up. The angels were cutting up. Now let me show you the problem with this. And we're gonna wind down. We're gonna wind down. Carlos, stay close. Stay close. Not at the altar, but close. This is the problem. Fallen angels, angel hybrid men, wicked angels, wicked hybrid men. And then you got man. And man is a fallen being. He's broken on the inside. Theologically speaking, we say that man, after the fall, entered a state of what we call total depravity. Say that with me. Total depravity. That's us without God, without Christ. We are totally depraved. What does this mean? This means that man is spiritually dead. Soul can't communicate. Not only spiritually dead, but he is trapped in his trespasses and sin. Spiritually dead and trapped in sin. Like a fish in a fishbowl. Trapped in it. Breathing in and out of it. Living in it. Trapped in it. And loving it. Since we spiritually dead, we have no way of getting out of the trap. Commentators say that man in his natural state is beyond self-help. No counselor can do it. No Dr. Phil, no Yana Van Sant, that's the name. None of that. None of that going to work when you're totally depraved because you're broken on the inside. You're broken spiritually. You see? And you could talk to a dead man all you want. You see? Apart from God, we are completely unable to deal with our sinful state. In order to gain or contribute in any way to our salvation. Can't gain it, can't even contribute to it. Totally depraved. We are also unable to do anything that pleases God. That's what totally depravity means. So you get a man that's totally depraved. Under some wicked angels. Under some wicked hybrids. Huh? Wicked angels and hybrids that's spreading wickedness. And we're going to have a problem. You see, because what I didn't tell you about our depraved state is John 3:19. When we are outside of God, watch this. Light comes into the world, but guess what? We love darkness rather than light. Anybody ever been there before? Before salvation? Oh, no, I'd rather do that. I'd rather do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whether it's the sexual immorality, the hatred, the murder, I'd rather fight. I'd rather do that. So you got these wicked angels, wicked half-breeds. They spreading wickedness. God is on this side, we in the middle, but we prefer darkness. So where does the world go, Chancy? To darkness. Now we get Genesis 6:5 in context when it tells us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wicked angels, wicked Nephilim, spreading evil with totally depraved soul. We going straight under them. You see? Carlos, can you come help your brother? So that was our problem. And that's what Noah was living in. A whole world that was going after evil. It seemed like he was by himself, just him and his family. You see, in this day, at least we got each other. Anybody hear me up in here? And Noah's there. Everybody was going the wrong way, y'all. Everybody was doing the ways of the watchers, the ways of the giants. In that time, amen, God could say, there's none righteous. No, not one. He could say there's none that understand it. There's none that's seeking after God. They are all gone out of the way together and become unprofitable. There's none that do it good. No, not one. God could say in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things that be of God. They are foolishness to him. You see? And that's the state where God finds us. And John, he know that we unable to break out of the sin trap. So what does he do? He shows his grace. He shows his mercy. He shows his grace. We're going to get to it here maybe next time. The Bible says, and Noah found grace. He found grace with God, unmerited favor. He didn't deserve it, just like we don't deserve it. But God in his sovereignty is pleased to choose some of us and call some of us and say, I know that you walk in according to the course of the world set by the watchers. I know you walk in according to the lust of the flesh. I know you under the prince of the power of the air. Now you know what that really means. He said, but you, come. Woo! He said, come. Come on out of darkness. Come on out from under the spell. And he shows us his son. We get a glimpse of the cross. We see Jesus crucified. We see Jesus buried. We see him rise on the third day. We admit we sinners. We believe in him. We confess. And what happens? God saves us. He opens our eyes and we never the same again. Come on, give God some glory in his house. Amen. I kept y'all long, but we had a lot to talk about tonight. I hope that y'all gonna be all right. But I pray, amen, that he rewards you for being here tonight. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm gonna try to make the next one short. Y'all gonna come Sunday. I'm gonna be here 20 minutes. I'm telling you. 20 minutes for worship, though. I'm just joking. I'm playing. We're going to pray and get out of here. Somebody say, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. But I thank you for coming to rescue us. Now, Lord, give me wisdom. Show me what your Bible is talking about. Save me. Cleanse me and use me. I believe you died on the cross. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day, you rose. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give him some glory. Love y'all. Be blessed.